You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit hellmanns.com.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A competitor is someone who is internally motivated to be his best regardless of the situation. His place on the depth chart does not matter. Money does not matter. Fame does not matter. He is always trying to absolutely be his best. He can't be swayed because he's already maxing out his potential. This f-ing dude is trying to PR every day of life. He's got a championship mindset. And when you have a championship mindset, you embarrass the shitty ones and you make the great ones look normal. Final one is the commander. He basically has all the traits of a competitor with one exception. He brings people with him. Which one are you?
So, from the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's the Hard Knocks Podcast. Training camp with the New York Jets. Episode 3, recap. My name is Dan Hansis. With me, my co-host, Colleen Wolf. Colleen,
yo.
As Bob Sala said, head coach of the New York Jets, 4 levels... of competitors. And I know it's a little confusing because one of the levels of competitors is competitor.
That one I have a little bit of an issue with, but that's fine.
So
I'd say we're both commanders.
So let's go. Yeah, because I was going to say, I would love to say we are, because I feel like commander, competitor, contender, survivor. I feel like I've been all of those.
Yes.
Maybe
okay.
Sometimes in the same day.
Uh-huh.
Like for instance, survivor is the bottom. And the survivor loves taking the easy way out, and they're miserable.
And they pull everyone down with them.
They love taking you with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking, like, survive. Like, Destiny's Child had a huge hit that was just saying how awesome it is that I'm a survivor. And this whole time, survivor sucks.
Ooh, that's a great point. I feel like it's a negative connotation here. And survivor, you know, if you're surviving, you're doing it right.
So first, we had... Ulbrich, the DC, getting after Belichick. Now Salah's getting after Beyonce. Interesting. Contender, someone motivated by external factors like playing time, money, fame.
Damn.
Opponent, definitely feel like that checks out. Competitor in the 4 levels of competitor. Internally motivated regardless of situation, always trying to be his best or her best.
And I learned what PR is today, personal record, because I'm not a Peloton girl.
Not on the Peloton.
So.
Not motivated by money, fame, or opponent. This f-ing dude is trying to PR every day of his life. Okay.
Maxing out his potential. Championship mindset.
And then commander. All the traits of competitor with one more. He brings people with him.
He's a leader.
Robert Saul is a leader.
I see. I have a couple things here with this. The competitor, which you, as a level of competitors, it's just a little confusing. I probably would have picked a different term for it. And then commanders, the highest of the levels, when the commanders are also a team in the league, I just maybe would have gone a different route there. But we have some notes, is all. We'd like to make this better because we're competitors.
All right, can you get Robert Saul on the line? Maybe we could, you know, he could take another crack at it. Like the rookies had to take another shot at the talent show last week
right.
into this week.
It's just like you have three of the levels that start with C. I like alliteration. Commanders, competitors, contenders, and then survivor. Like maybe we go all one to really drive the point home.
You're right. You're right. Yes, episode three of Hard Knocks is, you know, you feel like this is like a little bit lived in now. Like we know this team. We know what their vibe is. We know the energy around it. We know the excitement and anticipation. And we know this is Aaron Rodgers' world. And I think about what are people talking about coming out of this episode? I think there was so much buildup, Connie, to the pursuit of Rodgers. Remember the infamous report that Rodgers had a demands list or a hostage, not hostage, a ransom note.
Sure. Ransom note?
Well, that's how was it presented? It was like Rodgers' demand.
He definitely had a list of things that he wanted.
Right, and one of those things he wanted was to have Randall Cobb still be a teammate. And but in general, there's this idea, this undercurrent with Rodgers that he's so bigger than life and such the focus of the Jets universe, which he is, that it's like, how much power does he have? Like, what are we seeing right now that shows how much power he has in this organization? What are we not seeing? Mm-hmm. Which is, we'll get into a little bit later, what we're not seeing through three episodes of Hard Knocks. And one thing we know is that, like, you got to be able to, you have to reach the level of competitor for Aaron Rodgers for him to deem you worthy of being part of his world.
Correct.
You know who knows this? Randall Cobb knows this. Alan Lazard knows this. Garrett Wilson and the other wide receivers are learning this. And I thought one thing everybody's going to be talking about is this clip of Randall Cobb talking to his fellow wide receivers at practice about what you need to do to be on Aaron Rodgers' good side.
I was just talking to 12 or 8, and he was just telling me, you know, we had a lot of mistakes in our room today, and just basic stuff, little things, right? Like, we can't have that. And it's all cool right now, but I'm telling you, one day he's going to lose his shit. It's going to happen if it continues to go the way it's going right now. Because if he don't trust you, he's not going to throw you the ball. I can promise you that. If he don't trust you, he do not like throwing interceptions. So if he can't trust that you're going to run the right route, he's not going to throw it. It's just a matter of time. Continue to work and stay in your book and stay locked in so we can get to where we want to go.
It's funny because even the wide receiver coach has to look like, oh, shit. We don't want to get him mad at us.
Well, so you can tell that Aaron Rodgers has that type of personality, that he is like so chill. He's so cool. Like, he will deal with a lot of BS that comes his way. But when he gets pissed and the line is crossed, he will freak out. And it's scary because it's like he is maybe suppressing a lot of that all the time. And it seems like he's so even keeled. Even when all of the fights were breaking out in the joint practices, and he goes over to, I think it was Devin White, and he's like, the f*** are you doing, man? And he's like sort of laughing. And I'm like, ooh, that kind of was like a little spiralized, but I like it. I recognize myself in him in that moment. So it's coming. And I also like that Garrett Wilson talked about how you have Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard as translators for him and the other wide receivers for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and it makes sense now as you hear an explanation like that from Cobb why Rodgers, even if some people are like, oh, you need Randall Cobb on your football team in 2023, or Alan Lazard, wow, the Jets seem to give him pretty good contract for, you know, what his production has been in the league. Mm-hmm. Whatever makes Aaron Rodgers comfortable makes the team better, will make the offense better, and the Jets, I think, There's a very fine line from wisely working with someone like Aaron Rodgers, this bigger than life character, to letting him run your organization, like what happened with Russell Wilson and our friend Nathaniel Hackett last year. And I think the Jets have been on the right side of the line. But that's from our vantage point.
Right.
I wonder what's really going on the Around the NFL podcast. This past Monday, we had talked about how the Jets' offensive line has continued to be a subject of consternation, if it's going to be good enough. And Rodgers basically said in a presser, he's like, listen, I don't have control of, you know, who's playing where. That's not a decision or conversations I'm privy to. And then you wonder, like, if A, is that true, actually? And or B, when does Aaron Rodgers step into that room and say, this is who I want playing? Because I think if he wants to be that guy, he can be because he has that much sway, which makes it's a tough thing for Robert Saleh because everything is so great because number eight is here until you get punched in the mouth and what version of Rodgers is in that building at that point.
Well, I think yeah.
It's yet to be seen, obviously.
If it continues to trend in that direction, that's going to be a major problem. Even Robert Saleh, when he was talking about the different levels of competitors, at the end, he drove home the point that the defense, they were there the whole time. Like, they showed up. They were competitive. It was the offense that needed the defense to really bring it out of them. It wasn't like the offense showed up. And this is not a knock on Rodgers. It's just the knock on the offensive line and just some things that were not in place yet. The offense did not show up with the same fire that the defense did, I guess, when camp started. And now he was thanking the defense for being like, thanks for bringing it out of the offense. Mm-hmm.
And
it's all gas.
That's right.
And like, just to be clear, I don't even think Rodgers' stature and what we clearly see, the level of respect he engenders, not just from his own team, but everything around him.
Uh-huh.
He is like one of those rare figures where it would make sense, and the position he plays and what the quarterback means in this sport, to be have hands everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. He would be a guy where it would make sense. Now, does it happen at the expense of the head coach having any power, real power? And that's when it would get a little dicey.
Right.
But Rodgers seems to be in the right mindset because he's trying to win another World Series, another Super Bowl here. It'd be cool if he won a World Series,
That'd
too.
That'd be wild.
Can we
also talk about the fact that we watched the first 11 minutes of this show without any of the narration? We were watching like a raw cut of what Hard Knocks was, and I'm watching it thinking it seems like it's maybe moving a little slow or that there's like something amiss, and I couldn't quite figure it out. And then we realized we were not watching the final cut. So I'm really glad we figured that out.
Credit to Liev Schreiber, and credit, I looked it up. I wanted to mention it, okay? Not just credit to Liev Schreiber, credit to Jerry, I hope I got this right, Riemel, who it says writer in the credits. So as Liev Schreiber had said in the first episode to Aaron Rodgers, don't give me too much credit. Yeah. I just read what's on the page. I think Jerry with a G, is out there given this content. But I mean, I was going to do it a little bit.
It's a better show with Jerry.
Need Jerry in the house.
Yeah.
Jerry with a G.
G-Dog.
Since we're bringing up Liev Schreiber and how the show is not the same without him, it's not too early, is it, to play the Liev Schreiber quote of the week?
Dan, it's never too early.
Never too early. There's a couple things here I want everyone to know. Maybe it's your first time listening to the show. Okay?
Welcome.
Welcome. Liev Schreiber, famous actor, incredible voice and a narrator of the show. We can't use it on this program. Legally,
yeah,
disqualified. But we have a buddy named Jay who sounds like him. And this isn't...
Really does, too.
But this isn't just any other Jay Zumwalt Reed. After what happened last week with the eight ball thing.
It wasn't great, but he's coming back. He's on the road to redemption, we hope, we think.
We hope. Let's play it. The Liev Schreiber quote of the week.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in town for a game on Saturday, but today there's a joint practice. The old joke is that New Yorkers go to Florida to die. Now's the chance to flip the script and bury the Floridians.
Oh,
he's back, baby.
You did it. That was, man, his voice is so good.
Very rich timbre.
It really is. I could listen to Zami do Liev drops all day long.
I could listen to Jay Zumwalt read the phone book. wonderful. And that is true. I've heard that my whole life. New Yorkers go to Florida to die.
Snowbirds, right?
They retire. Well, they don't come back.
Well,
there's the two types. There's the people that go to Florida for the winter, mm-hmm. and then come back.
Oh, right.
And then there's the people just go to Florida and they don't come back.
It's a nice place to go and just and live out the twilight years.
Beautiful. All right. And other episode news. It's good that we finally got the Breece Hall.
Mm-hmm. Of it all.
The Breece Hall of it all. It was right around the Breece Hall moment of the show where Colleen definitely mentioned, wait, there's no voiceover here.
Well, because at one point there was a trainer like stretching Breece Hall and there was no music and there was no narration and it was just silence. And we were like watching him kind of stretch out his groin and it just felt very off.
Right, right, right. Just like a few minutes earlier, there was one of the Jets coaches just going on the sideline to no one in particular, competition.
Competition.
Competition. Competition. And without Liev there, you know, a little dry. But now we know, we've learned. In the future, we're going to look for Liev immediately.
Oh, yeah.
We're moving forward. Breece Hall, I've said this before on ATN. I'll say it again. It was awesome that the Jets swept the Offensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year awards. The craziest thing is, even if Garrett Wilson didn't have that year, if Breece Hall would have stayed healthy, the Jets would have swept it with Hall and Sauce Gardner.
The biggest competition was within their own locker room.
Breece Hall's second round pick in 2022 was looking like a monster, like a one of those running backs that hits the ground and is a superstar until week five in Denver earlier in the game. And they show that in this episode. He has a 75-yard touchdown run. I think it was Bob Wischusen, voice of the Jets, says Breece Lightning.
Everybody's like, is
this going to be the thing? Is this a thing?
Can it be a thing?
One drive later, I kid you not, he gets hit and tears his ACL.
Are we banning the nickname then because of that?
Maybe cursed nickname?
Because I think it's a great nickname.
It's pretty good. Anyway, so we get to see Breece for the first time, and it's good because we learn more about his rehab, and he says, he's talking about how, because we don't really see this as football fans, these guys, I think I said, like, football's the worst, Connie.
Yeah, the mental anguish that they're going through.
Just how there's no other sport where everything is taken away from you so quickly. Now, there are freak injuries in every sport, but in football especially, and in a running back, and this is set against the backdrop of what's happening in the league right now, if running backs can't get paid and having panicked Zoom meetings together trying to figure out what they could do about it. Like, Breece Hall can go from the fastest man on the planet and a budding superstar as a rookie to in an MRI machine learning that his knee is ripped up and he needs reconstructive surgery. And he talks a little bit about the process and the frustrations of it. I think it's noteworthy to, like, Jets beat reporters that are doing their write-ups about this episode. He says, obviously, I want to play the first week, but I got to keep going, doing what I got to do. Dalvin Cook's in the building. We see him sign with the Jets. He signs for a pretty big penny as well, Connie. So Dalvin Cook's in there. You see Breece Hall practicing and looking good. He hits what?
21 miles an hour. That's the magic number.
I don't think the Jets should. I think they should take every caution that they can to make sure Hall's 100% before he plays. Everyone always circles week one. But with Dalvin Cook there, you don't need to do it necessarily.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Also, they have Michael Carter there too, right? Like, they have options at the running back position. And if you have Dalvin Cook, I mean, I would assume that that is a huge reason why they ended up signing him, because they don't want to rush Breece Hall back because they know what a talent he is and they want to make a deep run.
How much do we love Nate Hackett?
Oh, my God. Oh, he's so funny. You mentioned that he sort of has a little Connor Orr to him, who is over at Sports Illustrated, used to be part of the NFL media group and around the NFL. But Nathaniel Hackett just has this funny personality where he will go up to guys.
I just want to fly around like a butterfly.
And he's like, hey, hi, I'm one of the coaches here. Nice to meet you.
I think we have it, actually. So we mentioned Breece Hall. So Breece Hall's back at practice. Nate Hackett was coaching with the Denver Broncos last year. Not well. So he doesn't have any real connection to Breece Hall. They've obviously met already in some capacity, but here's Hackett with that sense of humor. We both got a kick out of this.
Hi, my name's Nathaniel Hackett. I'm one of the coaches here. Thanks. It's nice to see you out here. Nice.
He walks away.
Hey, excuse me.
Cut
again,
to.
Nathaniel. It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thanks, too, Coach.
I feel like I need to defend Nathaniel Hackett. I'm a Hackett head. Like, I love him. I think he's so funny. His personality would fit in perfect with our whole friend group. That's it's the vibe.
And it is fun. Like, you get why Rodgers is into him.
Uh-huh.
Like, and some guys hit a level where this is where they're supposed to be, and then they may get promoted one spot up, and it's not for them. I don't know if this whole vibe maybe makes sense in the big chair.
Right.
Especially having the context of knowing what happened last year and now getting to know him a little bit this year.
Uh-huh.
But in this OC perch with Aaron Rodgers.
It's not bad.
Who loves him like a brother. Okay, you could see why he's feeling comfortable and good about himself.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of a boss that I used to have before I came to work at NFL Media. He just like seems to always keep it light, and that no matter what just makes working with him, and I'm sure it's the same with all the Jets players, like it just makes it easier. Obviously, that didn't happen in Denver, but when you're not the head coach, I guess it doesn't matter.
You're right. All right. One more thing before we take a break.
Okay.
And we get to our MVP conversation for episode 3. Woody Johnson, Jets owner, shows up again.
Yes.
And this is his, by far, his most memorable cameo on the show. And I count 2010 that season as well. Woody, do you want to get into, for those that might not be aware of Woody, the context of Woody's appearance?
Yes, because I sort of grouped his appearance in under a larger umbrella of cringy moments. There were quite a few in this episode, and he was one of them because he addressed the team, and he said that he had a sort of like a surprise for them. And he unzipped his jacket, and underneath he revealed an insanely, like, it was almost gratuitous how many diamonds were on this chain. And it said Woody in, like, just all diamonds, and let's go Jets underneath it.
We think it says, yeah.
We really tried to, like, pause it and take a closer look. But that
now,
was
you viewer at home, by the way, you might have a higher definition television than we watch this on. And if you could correct us if we have it wrong, but it definitely said Woody in all caps and then definitely said Jets. And we think go.
So it was like that was his way of relating to everyone in the audience there. All of the players. It reminded me a little bit of Kirk Cousins dancing with the chains on the plane.
Yes.
A bit had those vibes to it. So yeah, that's that was one of the cringe moments.
It got popped from the players, but then, you know, if your boss comes in and does that, of course the players are gonna react in a certain way that's like, yeah. I don't know if like a rookie would have done the same thing, the crowd would have had the same reaction. But listen, he's the boss.
I want a diamond count. I wanna know how expensive that was, what he's gonna do with it. Is he gonna wear it more? Is he gonna wear it if they're winning? Like what happens with the Woody chain?
I don't know. How much do you think it cost? Do you think it was real?
I don't even know how to ballpark something like that. I would have no
you think
concept.
It was real?
I mean, it's Woody Johnson, so is he getting a fake one? But
I don't think so.
It seems, maybe it's CZ's. Maybe he just did it for show. Maybe he's a showman. Maybe that's what he did.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Are you saying he's a commander?
Well, if he's made it this far in life and has the job that he
you
does,
know what I
want,
what,
so.
You know what show I want to watch?
What?
What happens when he walks out of that meeting room and he takes the necklace out? Does he throw it to an intern? And the intern's like, what do I do with it? And he's like, I don't care. Just get rid of it.
Take it away.
Yeah. Or maybe does he just throw it in a trash can?
No. It goes in like a vault somewhere. I'm going to say that it's worth something, I think.
Is it a $3 million chain?
I have no idea. I mean, I've never bought a diamond.
You have a lot of jewelry on
right now. I don't buy diamonds for myself. Also, some of the other cringe moments, the Rookie Talent Show Part 2, the do-over, many. I mean, this poor
it's
rookie
just not
class,
happening for this class.
You know what? They're football players, and that's exactly the lane that they need to stay in, and that's fine. Although Jake Kapp, the tight end, he had a nice performance doing an Eminem bit.
You know who was really into it, I felt? Our producer.
Yeah.
Eric Roberts, who's right in the age range where 8 Mile, the film, would affect him profoundly as a teenager, I feel like. You seem to really enjoy that.
What was that? This is my third guess for loops. Second, third grade, maybe?
I don't know exactly
what year this came out. Let me check real quick.
It came out in like 2003, I want to say.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
I was graduated in 2010, so count backwards from there. Sounds about right. Second and third grade.
Let's pause the show so you can count back. Go
ahead. So, but yeah, no, it's you guys asked who it was. It's the climax of the episode, the battle rap between B Rabbit, Eminem's character, and I forget the other guy's name, but yeah, it was the guy did it from all off the top of the head, and It was good.
2002.
And it's Mos Def. Yeah. It shook ones because that's like throughout the episode. Mm-hmm. He's practicing in the mirror to it. It kind of reminded me the performance itself of, it was a lesser version of when Max Crosby was on Hard Knocks with the Raiders and did Buy You a Drink by T-Pain, which will anytime I see Max Crosby forever, when he's on the field making plays, I still think about him singing that song.
This will likely get some pop on social media. I don't know if it will as much as Aiden Hutchinson last year because he killed it. His performance was better. The lyricism. And
what did
he
do? Billie Jean?
No, it was a Backstreet Boys NSYNC. Oh, yeah. One of those.
We
two.
Did get a Backstreet Boys thing in this episode as well. Yeah, I'll give it up to, I think it's Jerome Cap. Is that his name?
Yes.
That was tough. That was because they bombed so much in the first rookie show. They were out for blood. The veterans, like you see, Aaron Rodgers and some other players just actually had guns, not real guns, water guns. Ready to
attack. That would be
attack.
Crazy.
And he held his own. So good for him. All right. Let's take a break. When we get back, we talk MVP. Who was the MVP of episode 3? And remember, it's a vector voting system. Be right back.
It's backyard barbecue season, so light up the charcoal or fire up the propane and throw some burgers on the grill. Some people like cheeseburgers, others like hamburgers, and people will argue about pickles until the cows come home. But there's one thing that needs no debate: Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. You add Hellmann's, and boom, next level burgers, it's that easy. And then there's the side that every backyard burger cries out for: potato salad. Do you want to know the best secret ingredient? You've probably already guessed it: Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. There are two kinds of potato salad: deliciously irresistible, rich and creamy potato salad, and potato salad made without Hellmann's. It's up to you what you want to serve. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Here we go. Now, the vector voting system is tremendously important to us.
Yeah, I mean, two people who are famously good at math, so this makes sense.
6 points, I believe, for a first place vote. Mm-hmm. 4 points for a second place vote. 2 points for a third place vote. Cumulative. And at the end of the season, there's an MVP. So we're getting to the point now at the midpoint of the season where every vote counts.
It always does.
Really, if you want to get all mathy about it, it doesn't count any more or less because it's all the same. But it just feels more important now because now we need to almost start to make decisions based on who we want to be MVP. You know, you try not to do that and not let your biases get away, but you don't want to waste a vote at this stage. Put it that way.
That's fair. That's fair. But I don't like to look ahead like that. I like to take it one episode at a time.
Oh, you're that?
Yeah. So I will not be planning ahead.
All right. Who is your third place vote then, Kyle?
Okay. My third place is he's actually, I think he was in our MVP voting last week. He stole the show. And this week he goes third, cue ball, Quinnen Williams, because he had one of the best exchanges that made me laugh in the episode when they have joint practices with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he takes exception to the fact that Mike Evans calls him fat. And yep. I think we have this in a couple parts.
Which I can understand why that would bother him, because Mike Evans isn't just a guy. This is a potential Hall of Famer.
Not a Jag.
And Quinnen Williams is, he established himself as a star in the league, and he's got Evans just banging him like that in a big spot. All right, let's listen in.
Mike Evans called me fat. He called me fat, bro.
Oh.
Mike Evans. Bro, I lost weight this offseason. I look fat. Now I'm self-conscious, bro.
He seems legitimately he hurt by this.
Well, then one of his teammates, Michael Clemens, you know, he chimes in.
Yeah, I would say he's not skinny.
Damn, bro.
Thick?
Thick?
But I think he's fit. So non-skinny.
Oh, you think rewind it. Do I look good to be 300 pounds? Okay, cool. So,
you proportionate.
He says, I think you're fit for a non-skinny person. And then later in the practice, Quinnen Williams confronts Mike Evans about it and says, you call me fat. I lost weight this offseason. And then they start joking around about it. But he just goes to show you like how sensitive he is about that. It makes me love him even more.
It makes him relatable. And I've thought about that before. Like, these guys are elite athletes, but the D linemen and O linemen, like, yeah, they don't, their bodies don't conform to like society in terms of what looks good. And
like even DBs, wide receivers, they're all built different.
Right. So Quinnen Williams, who is honestly like a, in terms of body, there are very few people on earth that were gifted with a body as special as Quinnen Williams. It's just in a little bit of a different package.
Yeah. I don't love Mike Evans calling him fat, to be honest. I don't love it.
No.
I feel like it was in jest, but because they were laughing at the end, but still.
A little bit. A little bit. And it was funny, John Franklin Myers coming in at the end saying, you proportionate. That seemed to set off for Quinnen.
Saying you're fit for a non-skinny person.
All right, my third place vote. You know, I'm going to give it to the underdogs of episode three. We haven't seen...
This is tough for your vector voting system.
A lot of it. Yeah, it's kind of... I don't want to say it's throwing away a vote, but there wasn't a clear three to me. So I want to go with Tanzel Smart, a journeyman defensive lineman who's been bouncing around the league for 3 years. I thought initially that he was like 22 or something. I didn't realize until this episode. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was really confused last week when we saw with after the Panthers game, who was it? Johnny Hecker, the punter, goes up to Smart and makes the joke about, you know, what he's known for, Smart, in this season.
Good. I want to go to a Broadway show. I want to eat a charcuterie board.
And I was like, how does, not to put like punters in a box, but how does Johnny Hecker know this like young kid? Like, did he have to have someone like find out what his name and his number was and he sought him out? No, but that Smart came up with the Rams when Hecker was the punter of the Rams. So they knew each other previously. Okay, figure that out.
That all checks out.
And I like Smart being focused on because he's trying to make this roster. He's trying to keep his NFL career alive. A lot of times in the show, the focus is on when we do the quote unquote underdog portion of these seasons, it's about either undrafted rookies or a late round draft pick. Smart is in a different category, a guy who's seen it, been through it, has never broke through, but is still in the mix. And you see him making some plays both in practice and in the preseason. So shout out to Tanzel Smart. I hope he finds a home on this team. And then the rookie running back on the other side of that, the more customary underdog on this show, Izzy Abanaconda, who, that was tough, I got to say. This is more I feel bad for Izzy.
The joke that he made in front of the team, or no?
What was the joke again?
He made a joke about like someone not getting in trouble because their first name was Justice.
No.
That was also in my cringe category.
That was cringy as hell.
I know.
No, but they have the whole thing where he's from Brooklyn originally, so he's a hometown kid. You have all of his family uncomfortably sitting in the stadium with the camera right on him. That's a tough one. I get the way they were. And then Izzy gets hurt and gets helped off the field. Luckily, it wasn't a season-ending injury, but it's going to cost him a couple of weeks. So that does present actually the Hard Knocks team with a bit of a conundrum because he was supposed to fill that void as the rookie. Is he going to find a place on this roster in a very, as you mentioned, very crowded running back room with Michael Carter there, Brees Hall, and Dalvin Cook? He's out for at least two weeks, according to reports out there. So I'm going to give it to the underdogs. One, the journeyman, one, the rookie. Give him a little bit of love. Who's your second place vote?
Okay. Second place goes to head coach Robert Saleh.
All right.
We already went through the four levels of competitors, but
what did we decide we were?
What?
What did we decide we were of those?
Commanders, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
At least. We're at least, I guess, competitors on the competitor scale.
Eric, when you see us, the two of us talking on this show, do you think to yourself, and there's Parker Fenton behind the glass too, does great job on the video side.
He's trying to set you up to tell me that I'm a survivor.
No, like, oh my God, I would follow these people to hell. Like, do you get that vibe when
of
we're...
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I think Robert Saleh mentions that. That's why Quinn and Williams got paid all that money. You know, you guys are the leaders. We'll follow you in.
Parker, you could just yell so the mic picks it up. Would you follow us to hell?
Yeah. Okay. Since you remembered my name.
I was going to say, Parker was pretty hesitant there. You just forgot her name moments ago.
He did double down on the full name. So that was
Parker Fenton. Follow her on Instagram.
But had a lovely journey conversation afterwards. So it feels like you guys maybe have mended your
ways. Yes, the classic American rock band.
Yes.
I feel like that got me back in the good graces. She's wearing a Journey t-shirt today. See how I clocked that as well?
Like, yeah, good job. Great job.
I'm out of it. I'm out of the doghouse, baby.
Oh, my God. Okay, so anyway, Robert Saleh, maybe we'll come up with like some suggestions for the new levels. Maybe I'll do that on my red eye home tonight because I'm going to be just crushing time.
I thought you were going to be listening to Journey on the way home.
That and also maybe watching 8 Mile. I have a lot of things on the to-do list. I don't know if I'm going to have enough time.
5-hour
now,
flight.
As it turns out. But for real, the reason he gets the second spot here is because he did an hour on the steps. Can we talk about
that? Not just any steps.
Like the stadium steps?
The stadium steps.
Are you an hour? 60 minutes? There's no way I would have died after 1 minute.
And here's the thing. That's just his cardio. Look, the guy is cut out of marble. He looks, they showed him at one point on the sideline. I was watching some of the preseason game. I think he looks younger. Like it looks like he could play.
I don't know what he's
right
doing
now.
Like, and so he's working out all the time. He is the head coach. He has seven kids. Learned. Like how he must have more hours in the day than us normals.
Good one. He deserves that. My second place vote, you know, this one is not just this episode. Ostensibly it is this episode, but I'm going to give him a little love. I think this season's better because Zach Wilson's involved with it.
Okay.
I find Zach Wilson, and we've talked about this, to be compelling because of where he came from, which is second overall pick, face of the franchise, or that was the hope, falls on his face in just brutal manner last season and loses his job to his childhood idol. And I just feel like Wilson is someone that's in a good place right now. And there will be a time in his career where he probably is under the harsh spotlight again. Mm-hmm. I think that's technically the plan in the Jets, like big picture pie in the sky, that Rodgers makes them a beast the next 2 years, at least 2 to 3 years. And maybe they get that Super Bowl. And then when it's all over, he hands the reins to Wilson, who now, in this planet that the Jets occupy, has buried all that bad football earlier in his career. And now he's learned from the great Rodgers, and he could tap into his natural. That's the plan.
Uh-huh.
Now, it might sound ridiculous. And even as I'm saying it, this all sounds like a movie.
I actually wrote down in my notes when we were watching, I wanted to ask you if it gave you any more confidence thinking about the future of Zach Wilson that he could actually learn from Aaron Rodgers and take over and be successful eventually.
Well, no,
Because you did just start talking about the plan.
That's
and how,
the plan.
Because you could see it as you watch this whole episode.
Here's what I know. Here's what we know about Zach Wilson. He is physically talented. Okay, that's how he became a number two pick. Even though he was dominating, not big time programs when he was at BYU, but he has talent. If he was ever able to figure out the mental side of the game, yeah, maybe there is a good quarterback in the NFL in there. Does he have the leadership skills to make it happen? Does he have the durability?
Is he a commander?
Is he a commander or is he a survivor? That's the question. And right now he's in survivor mode, which is just like, and not maybe in the way Rodgers or Sal is saying it, like he's just resetting his life right now. And we're kind of along for the ride for that. It happened again where someone came up to him and it was saying like, yeah, how are things going, man? And he's like, you know what? It's just been good this year. Like everybody knows he's kind of took the ship into the bay and just docked it in neutral and is just trying to get things under control. And we've been able to see that over the last couple of weeks. And any Rodgers Wilson conversation, I just enjoy because it is like an uncle talking to his nephew.
Totally.
But like an uncle and nephew that have affection for each other, you could see that because you could see how Wilson will bust Rodgers' like balls on things and Rodgers will just kind of laugh it off. It was Kyle Trask, their conversation, the latest Wilson conversation with someone else. And he said, just doesn't run. Every conversation he's having is about how the last 2 years were rough, but this is good.
Yeah. All of those conversations remind me of like two people just sitting at a park, like skipping rocks, skipping stones in the lake, just kind of hanging out. It does have that like yes. uncle and nephew vibe to it. But Zach Wilson just seems overall so relaxed and like he's so fresh faced. He's so green. He's so wide eyed, but he does just have this, you can tell that having the ability to be behind Aaron Rodgers and not have all of that pressure on him, it seems like he's just more at ease too in general.
Yeah. Your first place.
First place goes to Randall Cobb.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yes. So in this one, we get a look at Randall Cobb's personal life a little bit.
Had we heard from him at all really in the first two episodes?
No, because this was the first episode where we all talked about his eyes being so piercing.
Yes.
So I think that was the first time it was like really on our radar.
Big green eyes.
Just for this season, but we get a chance to meet his wife, we see his kids, and also we get the news that there's another baby on the way as well, and this really made me laugh.
There's going to be another hand in the Cobb mob.
Cobb mob.
That's so cute.
What do you keep asking me for? In my belly.
A baby.
A baby?
Yeah.
Guess what?
You do have a baby now.
Mama, I have a baby in my stomach too.
I don't know why I found that so adorable, so funny.
That's such second child energy, by the way, by the kid, because he's already worried that he's going to be displaced.
Pushed
mommy's
out.
Mommy's favorite, yes, by this
so
new child.
It was that, and then I also really got a kick out of Randall Cobb going around to the different Jets players and telling them to clock Thomas Morstead running off the field, telling everyone that he basically sprints when he's finished. And that it kind of reminded me, do you remember that Reds pitcher who used to sprint from the bullpen to the mound? I think it was Jared Hughes, maybe.
Okay.
But it was this like all out sprint, right, and he looked insane doing it. And that's sort of what Thomas Morstead did. And they had this whole funny montage where they were like spot shadowing him, fun, just going out of frames and stuff. It was great.
Yeah, I likened him to like a soccer dad. Who's
yes.
trying to chase down the garbage truck with his trash can that he got out just a little bit too late.
So when he's finished punting, you guys must watch him to see him sprint off the field.
And his explanation was, I felt seen as a 43-year-old dad. His explanation was he has to do it. It's not because he's a psycho or anything. It's because he's getting a little older. He tightens up.
He's got to feel loose.
So he does his little power sprints to loosen up the old limbs so he doesn't pop a hammy.
So good. Yes. So that's my number. Good. What about you?
My number one is Quinnen Williams.
Oh.
I think Quinnen Williams has been a real treat because even as a Jets fan, I didn't really know much about him or felt like I knew like what his personality was. And that's like when this show is at its best, you learn more about these guys as people, and you see he's just like a fun loving guy. And like, I honestly think with that, we played it earlier with his Mike Evans exchange. I think that was real. I think he's kind of a sensitive guy.
Yeah.
I think he's, but he's also kind of kidding on the square because he knows how good he is. He's confident in his abilities, but also like seems like someone very easy to talk to. So it's good to have somebody, and you can see the way Sala talks about him, that they have this rare guy that's hugely talented that they felt comfortable investing a ton of money in because they know the money's not going to make him a worse guy. It's just going to amplify what makes him a good teammate. Maybe now, is he a commander? He said he's a commander. He seems almost too nice. Like Aaron Rodgers, I could see as a commander because you kind of got to be like the way Cobb explained Rodgers. Like, you guys, things are all right now, but you don't want to mess with him because he will light your ass up if you keep messing up. Like, does Big Q, does
he
have that in him? I don't know if he does, but he doesn't need it, I don't think, necessarily to be an all-time great Jet.
He's so lovable. I talked to him at the Combine years ago, and he was the exact same way, and he had his braces at that point and a huge smile, and he was just so happy to be there and so easy to talk to and was offering up all sorts of fun stories. And I remember after he walked away from that interview, everyone that was on the set with us, we were all like, I don't care where he goes, we will be fans of his.
Didn't he have braces?
Yeah.
Hey, he was like a teenager. Yeah, there you go. All right, good. And the vector voting system, only two episodes left now. So every vote counts.
This is a
big ep for Quinnen Williams in the MVP race, who I think has now announced himself as a real player, as Hard Knocks MVP. What's coming next as we before we sign off? You know, one thing I want to say, so much hand-wringing about the Jets not wanting to do the show. And then the idea that what kind of access did we get? Will we get? We have gotten a lot of great access. We've learned a lot about the players. We've learned, you know, good practice access, you know, fun sideline stuff during these games. Are we going to get, Connie, in any of these last three episodes, is it get, we get closer to cutdown day? Like, the old model was actually better for Hard Knocks, where cuts kind of were broken down into phases.
Instead of all in one shot.
So that built up some of the drama narrative-wise for the show. That's gone. But I wonder, are we going to see conversations behind the scene between coaches, the coaches' rooms talking about, let's use as an example, Connie, the running back conversation.
Correct.
Where they have four guys that they like, but really probably only room for three of them. In prior seasons of Hard Knocks, we've seen the running back coach pounding the table for a guy he loves.
Seen it, Deuce Staley. We saw it last year in Detroit with the Lions. That's how we met so many of the coaches.
That's how
we fell in love with so many of the coaches. I want to see the deliberations. I want to see guys getting into arguments about why their guy should make the team. And also, I always love in the background, you kind of see the board, but you can't make out the names. I just want to see the whole setup of what they're dealing with up there.
And I was like, I'm thinking even not that long ago, the Browns Hard Knocks, Greg Williams, the DC, publicly, or not privately, I should say, privately challenging Hugh Jackson, the head coach, with Hugh right there. And Hugh,
that was spicy.
And Hugh, in a self-defensive way, saying, I'm driving this bus. Like, real tension in that room. Now, I know, at least from where we're standing, everything is great and hunky-dory around the Jets right now. But there's got to be, these are all guys that are competing. And as coaches, they all have strong opinions. Maybe we'll get some more of that in the last two eps. We don't
know. Let's see some drama. We're here for the drama.
Mm-hmm.
The gossip. Let's see it all.
Mm-hmm. All right. Connie, you've said it all.
I have. All gas, no break.
You're off to Philadelphia. Hopefully there will be breaks.
All gas?
Oh.
For the plane. That
God, yeah, I hope so. That's where you went?
Let's do the math here. Let's
what? Yeah, I hope there's landing gear, too.
We have 8 miles, about probably 2.5 hours. A best of journey playlist.
Yep.
Maybe I'll, you want a like a 10 track best of journey?
I would love that.
I'll shoot you a little link of that. So that'll be an hour. So that takes you to 3.5 hours. What is it? 5 hours to Philly?
Yeah, about that.
All right. What was the other thing you were going to do?
There was something else, and I already forgot it because I didn't write it down. I do have a bag of meatballs, though. That
bag
I brought
of meatballs. So. You're going to scarf those down.
Yep.
They're going to be smelly, and the person next to you is going to be pissed off. It's going to be great. Bag of meatballs. Uh-huh. It's going to surprisingly take a long time to eat the meatballs. 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So now we're at 3 hours, almost 4 hours.
Hopefully I can remember what the other thing was. Oh, I remembered it. Yeah. I was going to come up with new categories.
New categories.
Robert Sala for the four levels of competitors.
That will take you easily an hour, and you're touching down at the Philadelphia International Airport.
Straight to the Phillies game.
And away we go. Go see them Phils playing great baseball.
Yeah.
In the second half. Mm-hmm. All right. More than I could say for my Yankees. Aaron Rodgers, go win a World Series for the Yankees. We could use you. We could use you. All right, that's it. Until next Tuesday, thank you to everybody for following along. And of course, check out Around the NFL as well for more football takes. Till next week, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.